Welcome back to the Mob Mentality Show. I'm Austin Chadwick, and my co-host is Chris Lucian. And we're very excited to have several excellent guests today to be talking about facilitating effective remote meetings. And to get started, let's just have everyone introduce themselves a little bit. We'll start with you, Woody. Tell us a little about yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm Woody Zuhl. I'm a software developer. I've been doing this about getting near to 40 years, I guess, but I'm mostly interested in mob programming and working with teams. That's pretty much it.
Right on. How about you, Jason?
Hi, my name is Jason Kearney. I'm a software developer. I've been doing this for about 20 years or so. I'm really all about code quality and working with teams and seeing teams get effective.
Awesome. And how about you, Lynn?
Hi, everyone. I'm Lynn Langett. I run my own company. I do a lot of DevOps stuff lately and cloud architecture. And I've worked with globally remote teams for like 5 to 6 years now. All my teams are remote.
Excellent. And last off is Paul.
Hi, I'm Paul Tevis. I was a software engineer and engineering manager before I moved full-time into coaching and facilitation work. So I do a lot of work with teams because I love helping groups work together and helping them find ways to work better, work more effectively together.
Excellent. Well, with that, we're going to jump in and start a Lean Coffee. So Chris, if you don't mind sharing the board we have here.
Here it comes.
All right. Excellent. So you can move intro the show to Dunn and have guests introduce themselves to Dunn. And let's talk about how Lean Coffee is going to work. So you can open up that and then start the timer on that one. Excellent. So how this is going to operate is a typical Lean Coffee. We'll put a link in the show notes that kind of has a general description of Lean Coffee and where it comes from and how it works. So we're going to have several minutes to create some cards. So every participant in this meeting is going to be creating cards in the to-do column. And then after all the cards are created, we'll review the cards. And the person who created the card will have 30 seconds or less to introduce what their card was about. Then we'll have a little bit of time to vote on the cards. And let us show you how. So go ahead and close this card, Chris. And you just hit the X. You can keep the timer going. Hit the X on this card. And the way people will vote for cards, you can open up the first card on the left under to-do. Is there is a votes area on each card, and I'll ensure that they all have a vote section as a checklist. So you can see add an item right there. And so Chris will tell you how many votes you get, and what you do is you just add an asterisk to add a vote. You can, as typical dot voting goes, you can put all your votes on one card, spread them around, but you just use up to the votes you got.
So what is this vote button on the power up here?
What's that?
What is the vote button on the power up here?
Oh, yes. We're not going to use that. We are using a power up called Leaner Coffee in Trello. And it's giving us this discussion capability, which I'll demo here in a minute. But for this Lean Coffee, we're not going to use the vote button on the right. So don't use that button. That limits your votes. I think it's N number of cards divided by 3. And we're going to use different rules for voting than that. So we're going to use the checklist as a kind of substitute for voting. But yeah, thank you for bringing that up. So go ahead and go back to that doing card. So we'll vote on the cards, and then Chris will sort the cards by what has the most votes, and then we'll just Kanban them. We'll move it from to-do into doing. We'll discuss. We'll start the timer, as you see going right here. When the timer expires, which is going to be on Chris's phone, you'll hear a ring. And then when the ring occurs, Chris, you can click on the discussion power-up and then pause the discussion. And then we're all going to vote. We're going to open up this card and vote. Do we keep talking about it or not? And the way we're going to operate is just go with the majority for this meeting. So if the majority is yes, then we'll keep talking the card for another 3 to 5 minutes or so. If you're not sure, you can put one, or no if you're ready to move on to the next card. So that is how we will vote on keep talking or move on to the next card. And I believe that's pretty much the ground rules. So I think I'm going to turn it over to Chris to start the Lean Coffee to facilitate it.
Fantastic. All right. Welcome, everyone. So we will go ahead and move that over. You'll notice our timers continue to be paused here. I'm going to just end that discussion, and it should show up in there as the historic amount of time in the cart. So we're done. Okay, so let's go ahead and take 2 minutes to add cards, basically on the topic of facilitating effective remote meetings. I'll do 2 minutes for idea generation on cards, and then we'll see them pop out on the left here, and then we'll do 30-second introductions for each of them. So we'll take the 2 minutes. Go ahead. And while everyone's doing that, you'll notice that we have a lot of these both asynchronous and synchronous tools to be able to operate in this way while we're all remote together, right? It's the comfortable sound of typing keys, clicking away.
You know, it is one of the things that I've been having conversations with folks about is when to mute and when not to mute. And there is a weird thing that happens when there's utter silence and everyone is on mute, because you don't hear those little noises, you don't hear the breathing, you don't hear the little bits of typing. Those can actually be reassuring, provided that they're not too distracting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I just messed with your plan and also snuck in my content around the side of the structure.
Yes.
We'll have to watch you. Yes.
We have about 30 seconds left. We got a lot of topics here, so this will be really good, and I expect the voting session to also be very interesting. All right, that's the end of the timer, as you can hear. So we're going to go ahead and do 30-second introductions down the list, and we'll go from there. So whoever wrote, turn on video and greet everyone at meeting start.
That would be me. Pretty self-explanatory. I like to see people, and I am surprised that I need to direct people to do that and sometimes persuade them. So that's what that card's about.
Fantastic. All right, mute noisy non-speaking participants.
There's going to be a lot of me since I didn't follow the instructions and I made all these cards.
I'm not the only one who's not following the rules.
maybe there should be one that doesn't follow rules. But anyway, mute noisy non-speaking participants. Again, a lot of pain. We're all on Zoom all day long. And I've heard a lot of dogs and children and things I didn't want to hear.
Fantastic. Manage the chart for a speaker.
I meant chat.
Chat.
So chart. I did virtual presentations over the last couple days to what was an international conference, and it was really nice having the chat managed while mm-hmm. I was doing an AMA, and I just was reminded of how nice that was because I've had experiences where that wasn't the case. So
fantastic. Set 3-goal agenda prior to meeting and start and send it to all participants.
Yeah, it goes to the why are we having a meeting and what's the point of the meeting? Because we're all virtual all the time. And for my case, I have, 10 different clients. It's hard to keep it straight. So it just helps me to prioritize.
Okay, fantastic. 30-minute versus 50-minute meetings prefer shorter durations.
Again, this is, I work with some of the big tech companies and that's actually a rule for them. They don't allow 50-minute meetings. So you have to figure out how to break it into 30-minute chunks. And I feel like their big software companies are pretty competent around efficiency. And so I'm trying to do that as well. I find it difficult though.
Okay. If participants need to download any software, send a list with links in advance.
And this happened to me this week. As well. I was working with a team in Europe and they were all tired. It was the end of their day and we didn't get our stuff accomplished because they were watching me download our packages. Not fun.
If everyone will be speaking, limit number of participants to 6 or less.
Did I write that one too? more than that gets a little chaotic, I think.
Okay. No meetings before, for Lynn, 10 a.m.
That's my last one. Right. Find your meeting sweet spot time and just don't have meetings. Like 8 a.m. meetings, I hate them. I really hate them. And then they seem to get canceled sometimes too, which really gets me crabby.
Yeah. Good. How do we ensure everyone gets heard?
That was mine. One of the things I've noticed recently is the shy / quiet people tend to disappear. How do we keep them from disappearing?
Okay. Facilitator versus contact owner, content owner versus recorder versus gatekeeper versus timer.
Yeah, so thinking about the ADA initiative roles and how they help in regular meetings and how having these roles set up during virtual meetings is even all that much more important, because there is so much going on in a virtual meeting that we all have to attend to, and just having so that's not all bundled in one person.
Okay. Use alternatives to one big group discussion based on purpose of the meeting.
Yeah, this one's for me, and that I think ties into some of the earlier stuff up there. I mean, meetings have a purpose, and they have a goal that they're intended to achieve, and sometimes we need to have more than six people in there in order to achieve that purpose. What can we do that isn't just 16 people sitting around one table that will help us achieve what that purpose is?
Okay. Effective ends to meetings?
So I'd like to say that meetings have three parts. They have beginnings, middles, and ends. And one of my meeting smells is the meeting that is all middle. Much like Lynn was talking about earlier, that we have a good beginning to a meeting where you greet people and you kind of get on the same page. I think you also need to have a good end to a meeting. And what does that look like?
Fantastic. Should we be having meetings?
Well, okay, so this is, I think we could have a long conversation, but I think meetings are a smell. If we're having meetings, we're doing something wrong.
What is wrong with having meetings?
And this is
that's not a follow-up. That's
so the thing is that we really need to be observing what we're doing in our meetings and why we're doing them. I hear a lot of people talking about how do we make it compelling for people? How do we keep people interested? But these aren't addressing the problem. They're addressing symptoms of the problem. Why in the heck are we having this meeting? Well, I didn't mean to curse. Why in the hey are we having this meeting?
All right. Let's see. So the importance of side conversations.
Yeah, in real life, we can nod at each other and secretly talk when we're sitting in, a co-located location with a meeting. And when we're online, we lose a lot of that ability to, have a knowing glance at each other and things like that. But we need to find a way to our natural way of being together more when we're remote. How are we going to do that? Side conversations is one way.
Okay, guidelines for sensing too much or too little asynchronous work.
Yeah, as you were talking earlier about, there's a blend of synchronous and asynchronous work that can happen when we're not all together. And in fact, that happens even when we're physically co-located too. And I think it's very easy for us to either fall too far to one side and too far to the other. So I think it can be useful for us to figure out how will we know when we're not working together enough, and how will we know when we are spending too much time together?
When to use silence.
That's me again. That is a huge facilitation tool that gets underused even when we're not remote.
Why are we having meetings? That's similar to the other one.
Yeah, so I think that one's mine. So yeah, we better know that.
All right. And make our meetings visual, charts, drawings, diagrams, sticky notes, etc.
Yeah, that's another one of mine. So I believe that that's a little bit more difficult when we're working remotely, and it's really easy when we're sitting together. And it's become more and more important to me over time that the diagrams, the drawings, and that sort of recording of what we're doing is a way of having a shared memory location just like our computer needs that, we've got this shared memory location where our brain can be bigger than just ourselves. Everybody can be part of that brain when we have something where we can capture, drawings. And real drawings are really important. Our mind works differently when we're drawing. Our mind makes different connections when we're looking at drawings. And okay. If we are eliminating that in most meetings, we are, we need to deal with that.
All right, so we've done the card review. And so basically, if you remember, the voting pattern is we're going to use the checklists as a way to just put an asterisk in the checklist to make the make it visual to me which cards have the highest number of votes. So everybody will get 5 votes, and you could use all your votes on one topic, or you can spread them out however you like. And so I see some popping up in there already, and I'll do about maybe a minute and 30 seconds, or you can kind of put in the chat when you're done voting so that I know that when we're ready to move on.
And maybe a question to ask you, Chris, while they're voting is, what math did you use to arrive at 5 votes per person?
So it felt like there were quite a bit of cards, and there's also 5 people in here. And so in my head, it's you can jump to true altruism, and you could vote on one of all of the each other 5 different topics, or you can do true selfishness and vote all for your own topics, but you still have like enough to go around in that sense as well. So it's kind of like just a heuristic in my mind, really, for that. But I visually just say, how many cards about are there? About how many people are there? Kind of break it out and then add a 1 or 2 more at the end.
Yeah. And I've also, as we noted earlier, the Leaner Coffee plugin did number of cards divided by 3. I've also heard the number of the square root as a way to get the number of votes. But there's a lot of ways to do it, but it's good to have a heuristic of some kind.
Okay. So we're about at a minute and a half. Is anybody still voting, or are we good to continue?
I think I have one more vote, but I'm offering it for sale. Who would like to buy a vote?
That reminds me, we had one mob programmer who would claim he could save his votes for the next retro and would stockpile them. So.
Yeah, it's like the hoarder mentality, right? So the highest one, I'll continue sorting these in a little bit, but I think we can
I think that I'm done.
Okay. The facilitator versus content owner, recorder, gatekeeper, timekeeper. Jason, you had suggested that one, so why don't you get us kicked off? And I have a 5-minute timer going. We'll each pull up the card, and even if somebody's kind of mid-sentence, I will pause the timer when you hear my timer go off. You can start voting even while the conversation's still kind of going on.
Okay. And so to continue, is it you're saying put another asterisk in there, or are you saying
no? There was a voting piece in there. So
there was okay.
Yeah, you'll see it when you go in, and it's on the screen share as well.
All right. So the reason I put this up there is I feel like people are overbearing the facilitator, the person helping run the meeting or helping organize people, kind of to Lynn's point about, it's really nice to have someone watching the chat for you, right? But my point is even more succinct that there's a lot of things that the facilitator is expected to do that aren't necessarily facilitation. And so can we break that up? Can we evenly distribute that better? And so I just took the Ada initiative roles, added one extra because the fact that we are remote, it's become more poignant to me that there is a difference between facilitation and content ownership. And so that's where I was starting from.
Yeah, I can yes and to that. I've in the many events that have occurred remote in the last few weeks, especially the more complicated the events are, like a mob programming workshop that has a talk at first and then it ends with a retro with everybody, you know, the more you can team up, the more it can really help. And I've seen this help, whether you're presenting to team up on presenting. And, you know, and one meta thing while this was going on, I was ensuring while you guys were, before you voted, I ensured each card had a voting checklist so that each card could be voted on. So that was one thing, one way me and Chris teamed up for this event.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the recorder as well goes to the importance of drawings and things along those lines as well. Having somebody that's ready to draw kind of at a moment's notice is also really good.
Well, having just come off of meeting, I'm sure the rest of you did too, right before this, this facilitator versus content owner is a very, I don't know, very germane to what I just did, because facilitator to me is a person who makes sure that everybody's voice is heard. And that's very different than a content owner. Content owner is getting something done, has a goal in mind. And, you know, I think it's very nicely put to consider it as two roles, because I think, in fact, that it's not often. And so then you basically only hear the loud people. It's a really common situation. So to just consciously say facilitator, in my view anyway, is a person whose job is to get everybody's perspective. And for a lot of people, that means you have to ask them and make that silence so they'll talk, basically.
Yeah, I have a very similar perspective to Lynn's, which is that when I'm operating as a facilitator, you know, I regard my goal, and this is my approach to facilitation, right? I'm making decisions about structure and process that are going to help the group achieve its goals. Mm-hmm. But I don't own those goals. I need a content owner to actually own that so that I can co-design with them and I can work with them to support them. But if one person is trying to hold both of those things, it gets really, really hard. And splitting it even out further into those notions of like those other tasks that often need to be performed for groups is really great. I was part of a session a few weeks ago where we basically had a facilitation team of about five, where there was one person who was working with sort of the group, the inner group was a fishbowl sort of thing. One person was making sure things got posted into the chat, both the instructions and then the sort of summaries of what people were saying. And then we had someone else who was handling technical help for the people who were trying to participate, maybe having some struggles. It was really great to sort of see that sort of Voltron effect of those roles getting pretty clearly delineated so that people knew how to help and they knew, and they could focus just on that piece so that they could focus fully on it. Mm-hmm.
And that is where I was going with this, is that I think that a lot of things I've been involved in over the last 3 months, if we had these different roles separated, they've just gone awesome.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good note to put into the show notes, is the ADA initiative roles for meetings in general, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And one thing I'll add, maybe before our timer expires, is in a mob programming environment where we currently work, it naturally flowed out of mob programming for our team recently that, hey, we're going to have to present, we're going to have to facilitate this meeting, let's mob it together. And not only in preparation and setup, but also conducting the meeting, right? So we would share who's presenting, share who's helping with this or that as the meeting's going on. And so... yeah, you know, so I found mobbing is inspiration for better remote meetings.
So if you see in the card right now, there is a, should we keep going on this discussion? Yes, no, not sure, no. And our timer just went off. And so I already see three no's. So that's probably a good indication to me that we should move on. So let's keep it going. All right. Why are we having meetings? So Woody, you put up this card. So why don't you go ahead and kick it off?
So almost when we have to review something like, how do we make our meetings more interesting, or our meetings aren't as effective as they want to be, when we ask these questions of ourselves, we're usually talking about symptoms that we've seen, and we're not talking about an underlying problem. Why do we have these symptoms? Why do we need to think about this thing? And what most people do, and almost everybody does, is they go to try and solve the symptoms. They say, oh, this isn't interesting enough, so we need to make it more interesting. or people aren't staying alert. So we need to get them more involved. So let's find some techniques to keep them all talking or hear from everybody and all these things. We wanna solve the symptom rather than solve the problem. And you never solve a symptom by working on it. And you can't solve the problem that the symptom is a symptom of. And you know, the way I like to say it is you cannot solve a problem by solving the symptoms. So, you know, if you're sneezing a lot, so, you know, you take a sneeze suppressant medication, it's not gonna solve the reason you're sneezing. Maybe it's your an allergy or maybe whatever. So that's what this is about. So whether we want to talk about it or not, it's interesting that you want here in this meeting to talk about it. So let's see what we can find. Lynn, you had something great to share.
Yeah, sorry. So one of the things that I really enjoy doing is canceling meetings. So I first want to put a question out there. When is the last time you canceled a meeting? I did it twice last week. And people always, especially if they're recurring, people are like, are you sure? Are you sure? Like, well, I feel I can handle this over an email. I might go into Slack or something. If you would like to have a meeting, that's fine. But I'm feeling comfortable with our communication over Slack or over email. You generally get a really positive result. So I don't know if that goes to Woody's, like, you know, curing the root cause. It makes people happy. I really never get, oh, I'm so mad at you for canceling this meeting. I always get, wow, great.
So I will counterpoint that slightly. I have been in previous organizations very annoyed with my boss for canceling meetings because he thought we didn't have anything to talk about, and I did. Yeah. But I will say that, you know, inertia is a thing that keeps recurring meetings on a calendar. And we need to stop that whenever we can. I think it is really important that to get to sort of the underlying piece here, like we need to be super clear on the purpose of the meeting and why having a meeting is the best way to achieve that purpose.
Mm. That reminds me. So like when people don't want to get rid of those recurring meetings, I think it's really funny to me because one of my pet peeves in general is just fear-based decision-making. And so like, are you sure we want to get rid of that meeting? And everything, it's like, well, are we afraid to get rid of the meeting? Or is like the reason, really a reason to keep it around? And so kind of in my kind of personal mantra, so it's always avoid fear-based decision-making and have better reasons than just I'm afraid, right?
Well, again, not to be super dominating this topic, but I do a lot of interaction with Amazon Web Services, and I've actually interviewed with them and stuff, so I kind of know how their internal processes work. So if you don't know, it's really interesting. They do not allow PowerPoint, and they have this they won't allow it. They have this process where you have to write a 4-to-6-page memo, and it's actually part of the interview process. And if you do not have 4-to-6 pages worth of information, then you are not permitted to help have a meeting. and so they test you on it when they interview you. It's really kind of interesting. Again, it goes to Woody's like root cause. Like, you know, are you having too many? What's the purpose? Amazon is like, unless you have 4 pages worth of information, and by the way, you have to send that memo out in advance so people can review it and have actual discussions. I just found it to be really, really interesting. I've never heard of a large corporation that you know, banned PowerPoint before.
Yeah,
it's actually a thing. This is a slight tangent, but I did a session for a local PMI chapter the other night about full meetings, and I blew their minds by not actually doing any screen sharing during any of it. But what I did is I had sent them the materials, like I'd shared the slides with them so that they could follow sort of along at their own pace. But it allowed us to stay in gallery view so we could be seeing each other with a much larger percentage of our screen than just the sidebar like we've got here. And anything that I needed to make sure that they were seeing was showing up in the chat. So I think we've fallen into using tools that may not be the right fit for the problem we're really trying to solve, which is also part of like, why are we having this meeting? Because it's the only way we know how.
Yeah. So please go ahead and vote on whether we should keep discussing. And while the voting is going on, we can kind of keep talking and just keep an eye on it. Got an even split. So that's probably a good indication that we should move on when everybody's tied. I like it, and we can keep going. Oh, and in this tool, I need to remember to end the discussion when we move on. What is wrong with having meetings? Did we cover this already, or is it something we can?
Well, this is good. So since that's my card, it's very closely related to the other one.
Yeah.
But I would say when I see people having meetings, I think there's a problem, and I want to get to the root of that problem. So while we kind of covered that a little bit, I think that that's really, what is the problem that's happening when it is that we need to have a meeting? Now, I read a book recently, I saw some people having discussion in Twitter or something about a book that had come out by somebody about having great meetings. So, I said, why are we having meetings? I got hammered back from everybody about we need to get a meeting. So I thought, I bought the book and I read it. And all it was about all the problems we're having. How do you resolve all these problems? So now I really think we need to be talking about what is wrong with having meetings. Why are we having them? What is wrong with having meetings? Paul
looks like you have something to say.
I have a semantics question. How is mobbing not a meeting?
Because we're working. There's a big difference here.
I knew we'd go here.
Okay, this is great.
Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
If we're getting together to make decisions, so I'm going to define a typical meeting. We're going to get together so somebody can get information or be informed. Often what happens in a meeting is we will discuss whatever it is that we're doing because we need to make a decision. And then we're going to make that decision, and then it might be that we're going to assign some work to somebody. We decide what to do, we're going to assign work to somebody, and then we're going to make a decision or a plan for how we're going to stay informed about that. This is a typical meeting. And maybe we need to be describing what we mean by meeting. A meeting isn't four or five people being together. A meeting is a specific type of gathering. Because if we were to say every gathering is a meeting, then a football game is a meeting, right? And a group getting together to play some music is a meeting. Well, we could be having a group gathering together to decide what songs they'll play at their next gig, and then we're also going to have them playing at that next gig. So which of these are meetings and which aren't is what we need to discuss first. And I think that this is the problem. We don't even really know what we mean by having meetings. And so we have them. So this is a good place to start. So I don't know that we need to go on with this. We could have, this is maybe wrapped up with the one we just covered. But I'll be very bold to say this. I think something on the order of all meetings of the first type I described are probably not necessary. We probably need to find some other ways to do these things.
So real quick, I just want to say a meta thing. So whenever I am in a remote meeting, we use the chat to just say, I have something to say in the chat. And then somebody facilitating, like I am, can go through and call on different people. So Jason, you look like you had something to say. And we can use the chat to queue up.
Now, mine will be fairly quick, but one of the things I liked about this topic in general, and I definitely agree with Woody on this, that right now, one of the problems I see is that the meetings are getting involved in everything, even things that would normally not be a meeting, because of the remote distance aspect of it, suddenly becomes this first type of meeting where it becomes sharing information, even if initially when we got together, we thought we'd be working.
Okay, we'll hand it over to Austin.
Yeah, so I'd like to, Woody's challenge on to search for root causes from a systems perspective. And what I've seen to take a stab at that a little bit was, I've seen in the past where it's like, okay, we need to figure out something. There's some information we need. And so we schedule a meeting, but that introduces wait time between the thing I need to do, I need information for, and I'm gonna wait for this meeting to occur, right? And so the way to eliminate meetings that has been an experiment we've been running, it kind of goes off of the edge of the mob programming pattern. But basically when you're remote, everybody's at the edge of the mob. So we're mobbing, we're working, we need to collaborate with somebody, whether it's technical or on marketing or product owner or what have you. And we just invite them into the mob and then they mob with us until they answer all our questions or resolve everything. And then they leave and then we just keep mobbing. And so we've been trying to eliminate as many meetings as we can with that. The only ones I don't...
I would call that a meeting.
What's that?
I would call that a meeting.
Yeah, it's still a meeting. Okay.
Right. So that you have to call somebody in, and then you have to get them up to speed, and you have to remove them from their context, bring them into your context, and then try to take some kind of action based on it. Now, if you're then doing work, you've ended the meeting and you're doing the work. You wouldn't have needed to do that if that knowledge was already existing on the team. And that we find that we need to do this is one of the problems I think we need to solve in software development. It might go for everything else that we do, but I don't spend much time doing all those other things. I'm stuck in software development, which I kind of enjoy, but anyway.
Mm-hmm. While we're voting, Paul had something to say as well.
Well, I have a languaging thing because I've noticed that many people have a visceral reaction that meetings are bad. And so oftentimes when I notice that when I'm working in an organization, I stop talking about meetings, right? I just do things like, it sounds like a few people might need to have a conversation about this.
Yeah, I think that in situations where I see drastically different things. I think, you know, multiple mobs working together. I see mobs or mob members having meetings across mobs to make decisions together, right? But mobbing together and deciding and doing the work and everything along those lines. And so I see, you know, a lot of the times I see people split off. One person in the mob goes to meet with another mob and then comes back with information and then a decision is made. So we see a lot of that, but, you know, it's interesting because I'm in the voting past, we're still talking about this, by the way, the interesting piece is like, I'm kind of straddling the worlds between like, executive meeting land and mobbing with team land. And, the thing I'll notice is like when our roles are fundamentally different, it feels more natural to have a meeting where it's like, mm-hmm. you really need just one tiny bit of information to make a global decision versus, you know, minutia about the code or even architecture, should be kind of like done as a group, you know, working together and implementing and proving things out to each other. Lynn, I see that you had something to say.
Yeah, a couple things, using tools. So I'm just joined the board of a startup, and you know, it's two co-founders, and we brought in our first two contractors. And the first thing I said is, "Time for a Slack," because we don't want to have meetings all the time. And so we've been using Slack really effectively. The other thing that we've been using that I think is newer to some people is some of the collaborative capabilities around GitHub. You know, if you're not familiar, of course, that's all been made free, even for private repos in this COVID time. And we were able to add people to the project boards as read-only in GitHub, which again, they could see the status of the development without having to have meetings. So Slack and adding people to GitHub and using the collaborative tools in GitHub has really been two big tips. And also like Paul, I tend to avoid the word meeting. I just say, let's get together, let's work together. I trick people into mobbing. I did that this week. Nice. You know, we have a reoccurring time to get together. Oh, let's open a terminal and actually work on it. Whoa, what? Yeah, come on. Let's just see if it works. Let's do it. It'll be fun. So.
Yeah, that's a fantastic way to move forward for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think, so we have the vote up there again. And in particular, I'll just say that in general, I love everything that I'm hearing, and we're ready to move on. So we can go ahead and start talking about the three goal agenda and kind of get into that.
Sure, that was my. Sorry. Okay, sure. That was mine. So again, with my new startup here, having more people come onto the team and having more people in our meetings, we were getting like kind of going all over the place, having the, you know, all the problems we talked about. And so I proposed this to the two co-founders. I said, would you want to give this a try? And they love it. You know, it's a technique that I've used, you know, a lot over the years, but they just love the fact that we have 3 to 5 things to focus on. And they can bring new things, but it gives I would call it like just in time structure or just enough structure. So it's not just, you know, free form, but it's also not like, you know, the endless PowerPoint. It's kind of an interesting thing. I did a bunch of work in business analytics, and this idea of 3 to 5 dimensions is a sweet spot for reports. So it kind of like is how much people can hold in their mind. So I kind of apply that to sort of everything I work on, whether it's visualizations or meetings or whatever it is, 3 to 5 topics. That's it.
So I've got, when I saw this on the board, as we were doing some brainstorming around this morning, it brought something up for me, which is that I'm actually trying to make it even sharper. I try for single goal meetings because it makes it really clear when we can be done, like achieved the outcome, now we can move on. It's kind of like the single responsibility process, but for groups getting together, where when you start to have a class or an extra function, you know, that's trying to do too much, it's very easy for it to become a junk drawer. You just keep piling stuff into it. But when it's really clear, this is the one thing we're going to try to achieve, you can be super focused on that. My exception to that, because I was thinking through this a little this morning, my exception to that is when there might be 2 or maybe 3 things where we need all of the same people to achieve those outcomes. And it is cognitively useful for us to intermingle the work. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of it for me is just minimizing cognitive load. All right. It's just like, how can we make sure that we're focused, that we're getting the thing done and we're on. And sometimes it is useful to kind of dance back and forth between 2 things, provided that all of the people who are there actually need to be involved with both of those things. So that was what that brought up for me.
Yeah, and that reminds me, it's kind of an effective way of eliminating the Parkinson's law effect, right? Of basically any time available is time that gets used up. And so, yeah, people schedule an hour and then the conversation lasts exactly an hour. Yeah. And you're just like, how does it last an hour every single time? I'm just very skeptical that that's actually a natural occurrence.
In a previous job, I was notorious for asking, perhaps skillfully, if the purpose of a meeting was not clear, I would ask, how will we know when we can leave?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, having a really good facilitator will lead to keeping on track. And so if we come with 2 or 3 ideas that we're going to try and cover, or things that we need to talk about, and we wander off into a lot of other things, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because that can lead to a lot of discovery that's happening. But often, I like to tell this little story. I was hired once to work with a really brilliant developer, one of the smartest I've ever worked with, but specifically to sit next to them and frequently say, that's an interesting thing. Let me write it down and let's get back to the thing we got to get done today. And I did that like maybe 8 or 10 times a day. And this person knew that's what my goal was. My goal was to keep them focused. And this was the way that it seemed to work for me. We would get it. We called it a parking lot. And this was like 15 or 20 years ago. I'd slap those things in the parking lot. And at the end of an hour or two, when we actually got something done, we'd look at that parking lot. Are any of these things really relevant right now? And if they're not, let's keep on to the next thing we were supposed to do. But if they're really relevant, like we exposed something, because discovery is half of what software development is. If we discovered something we really need to deal with, we don't want to let that slip by. So having a facilitator or somebody who is, I think facilitation is maybe the wrong word in some ways, but we can get a better result for the meeting. That keeping it to a few things and nailing those few things quickly does keep us engaged, because we're making action quickly rather than slowly getting along, everybody explaining a whole bunch of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, shorting those mental cues helps.
No, we're not there yet.
Sorry, was that Jason?
I was just saying, shortening those mental cues helps also.
Absolutely.
So I got something I want to ask you, Jason, real quick. You and I did a kind of group programming thing back shortly after you arrived at that place where we first worked together.
Okay.
Do you remember what year that was?
I can look it up.
2006 or 7, I'm guessing. But anyways, those were really focused. We got together to do a specific thing, and we spent a very focused time over an hour every day of refactoring some code. And so when it's kept to that focus, everybody stays engaged, because we know what
we're
there
for. Those are awesome.
We want to see it being accomplished, and it's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. We're coming up on time. We probably have enough time for one more card. I'm just going to jump to the next topic, and then that'll kind of wrap us up for the end. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. So the importance of side conversations.
Well, that was on my card. We really lose a lot of what happens in meetings when we're working remotely. The things that happen as where do we sit in the room? Who do we sit closest to? And how do we take the initiative? And a lot of these things disappear, and we need to find ways to keep some of this with us. And one of them is the, for example, I could glance at Lynn knowingly, and she would go, yeah, we got to clamp down on this. They're introducing something we need to fight against, and we're going to be able to collaborate in stopping something from happening. And we don't really easily, so there are lots of ways to do this online, but we don't have that instant knowing look or little nods or whatever it is. I've especially seen this in large meetings where there's, 10 or 12 of us around a table, and the people that, need to get something done are silently communicating. How are we going to do that here? And that's why I called it side conversations, where you can use something like, a messaging system or a shared Google Doc that only those people are sharing or whatever. Now, I've seen people say, don't allow that kind of stuff. And that means, like Deming would say, there's nothing that you can do that your people aren't smart enough to get around. So quit prohibiting things and just learn to live with what's there. Figure out what's there. So there we go. There's the basic idea. How do we do this? How do we, how do we act as we normally would in this?
I'll just say that Austin had privately sent me a message using the private chat feature of asking whether or not we should make that the last card due to time. And I saw that and I was like, oh, that's a good point. And so that's why I'm keeping track of time directly. So just a little meta reflection on all that.
Shut off the ability to do private chats, I believe.
Yeah.
If you're facilitating.
Yeah, and Lynn had something to say too.
So I do this all the time. I'm ADD. So my favorite one recently was I was watching a Google Cloud internal partner presentation, and I had another person around the world that was on it. And I said, let's go to Slack. Or I said, see you in Slack. And so I went over to the company Slack, and we had like this private conversation, kind of being sarcastic about what was being presented just between us. And it was like a fun side conversation. So I where there's a will, there's a way. And I'm, I guess I'm guilty. I've done the Google Docs thing. I've done, because I always have to have my 2 cents worth. So I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm an introvert. So I just don't mind. To me, it doesn't even feel that different, because I would actually do that in a live meeting too, in a room.
I mean, I think to go to what Woody was saying earlier, I think if you are trying to stop people from doing that, you're trying to treat a symptom and not a problem. Like, you can't try and stuff the genie back in the bottle. That's not the right metaphor, but it's what I got right now, right? Like, you need, however it is that people need to process and engage with what is happening, you need to make space for it. It's actually one of the great things in a bunch of stuff that I've been doing, where I actually tell people, hey, I'm going to be presenting some stuff here. We're going to be walking through some stuff. If you have questions about what's going on, or if you're having problems, put that in the chat, because someone else in the room may be able to help you and I might not see it. And I think we really need to remember that we're there to do things with each other, not just with whoever is in charge. And I think we need to let people do what they need to do in order to process stuff. So like, one of the things I've been finding in a lot of my remote stuff recently has been, I've been going back to pen and paper and I've been drawing a lot, which is not something that I used to do, but it helps me process. It helps me capture stuff. And it also means that I can occasionally like be like,
yeah.
Right? Which has a much more visceral impact than maybe typing something in chat or even just saying it out loud. I think we need to recognize how it is that we can let people process and express themselves and not shame them for doing things that are useful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, Jason, did you have anything to say about the chat and text message stuff? Or?
The only thing that I would add is, as a facilitator, because this was the viewpoint that this we were asked to take on this, I like to actually ask people to engage in those things. Mm-hmm. I actually will bring it up and say, hey, look, you know, you guys can come up with ideas. Please share them with each other on the private chat, the public chat, text message, whatever way you do it. Make sure that they know that they have permission.
Okay. And on that note, I think we're ready to end the episode. Woody, Jason, Paul, Lynn, thank you so much for being on the show with us today. And I think that this will be really useful for a lot of the people out there. So, as always, for our viewers out there, if you know somebody that would benefit from seeing this video, please share it with them. Like and subscribe, and we'll talk to you all later. Thank you for being here. We can all wave to the audience now. Bye. Thanks, everybody.